DW.
The Larsen C Ice Shelf is a major ice shelf that extends out over the ocean, and it's attached to a peninsula in Antarctica. It's really enormous in scale. In the U.S., we've got states that are various sizes, and the Larsen C Ice Shelf is the size of the state of Delaware. For folks in the U.K., for instance, it's a quarter the size of Wales. So it's an enormous ice shelf. It's been there for a long time, and it's showing very worrisome signs of disintegration.
What are the consequences of this huge portion of ice breaking off into the ocean?
Well, frankly, the consequences could be dire, but we don't know. One of the things that has happened in the past is as these ice shelf portions break off, speed up other ice loss from the same region. So we get an acceleration. These ice shelves stabilize the ice sheets, and when they break off, they can create an unstable situation. So what scientists really want to know is what happens after this portion of the ice shelf breaks off.
So when is it expected to collapse, and how do we know it will collapse?
Well, scientists know it's going to collapse because we're watching it collapse in real time. A large crack, sometimes called a rift, has formed, and we can watch it progress day by day, week by week. And the rift has nearly cracked the ice shelf through, or the portion of the ice shelf through. So we know because we're watching it.
And it's not the first time this has happened there. There's also the Larsen A and Larsen B ice shelves that have also seen collapses too.
That's exactly right. In fact, the Larsen B famously collapsed in just a matter of a few weeks after a portion of its ice shelf collapsed into the ocean. Much of the upstream ice then subsequently collapsed. So we're hoping that that doesn't happen with the Larsen C, which is much bigger, but we're fearful it may happen.
And since when have these ice shelves been breaking off? How far back does that go?
Well, one of the smaller ice shelves, the Larsen A, disintegrated in 1995, and it was followed by the Larsen B, which really dramatically disintegrated in 2002, and that was just over a matter of a few weeks. And now we have the Larsen C, which is disintegrating 2016 and 2017. So these things, in terms of the lifetime of ice shelves, these are pretty rapid succession of collapses.
Are these natural occurrences or as a result of human activity?
Well, that's a real subject of debate, but many scientists think that it is because of human warming of the planet. As humans put out more greenhouse gases that trap heat, it results in both the air and the ocean waters warm. So these ice shelves experience heating from both above and below. And we know that that impacts the health of the ice shelf. We know. The question is, would this have collapsed naturally or not? Or was human warming the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak? And many scientists think it was. And many scientists believe that this is a sign of what's to come. And that's what's got us really concerned.
And so all this melted ice going into the ocean, what are the consequences of that?
Scientists know the ocean levels are rising. They're rising at a few millimeters per year right now. But we are seeing that sea level rise accelerate, so it's rising faster and faster. And if you ask oceanographers, what's the ocean going to be like by 2100? The general view is it's going to be 1 meter higher than it is today. Now, why do we care about that? Well, 150 million people live within 1 meter of sea level. 20 million people in Bangladesh alone. So this is going to result in displacement of people all around the world. We have a city in the United States, Miami, and Miami is our poster child for sea level threat. Miami will be flooded. Miami will be lost. And there's basically nothing that can be done to save it. And so you think about the economic costs and social consequences of having to relocate entire cities or portions of countries And it's astonishing.
And yet, President Donald Trump has pulled the United States out of the Paris Accord. What chance do you think we have of changing the current trajectory that we're on in terms of climate change?
The night of the U.S. election, scientists in the U.S. knew that President Trump would pull out of the Paris Accord. We finally heard that official news last week. And for many of us, it brought us a sense of relief, strangely enough, because we were very afraid the United States would stay in the Paris Accord but sabotage it from the inside. Now with the U.S. out, it gives other countries a chance to lead. And we know that the economics now are driving clean, renewable energy deployment around the world. And we know that countries like China are taking major steps to become global leaders. I'm also hopeful that other countries step forward and take the places of the U.S. as the leader in this area. But it saddens me because it means that in the United States, for instance, we are going to be buying solar panels and wind power plants from other countries. We're not going to be exporting them. So this is a real economic opportunity for other countries, and it's a huge economic loss for the United States.
And with the U.S. pulling out of the Paris Accord, what will be the legacy of this for climate science?
The Trump administration wants to dramatically cut our expenditures into climate research. That is, remove the eyes and ears of scientists so we won't know what's happening in places like the Larsen Sea Ice Shelf. And that would really be devastating for our understanding of climate change. And this is, again, an opportunity for other countries to become the science leaders to step forward and replace some of the funding that the U.S. is going to cut. If we cut funding in the U.S. but don't replace it with other countries stepping forward, it will be an unmitigated disaster in our understanding of the Earth's climate.
DW.